This is The State of Things. I'm Frank Stachow. The AIA Center for Architecture and Design in Raleigh is the kind of building that draws attention. In fact, in a highly informal News and Observer poll of 29 Raleigh residents, the AIA building, was named the city's ugliest. But ugly is in the eye of the beholder. There are other buildings on that same list that are also contenders for an upcoming competition to be the city's most beautiful. So there you go. The AIA building's design is contemporary and green. Its natural heating and cooling system, for instance, saves as much as 64% on energy costs. Raleigh architect Frank Harmon designed the building, and he joins us now to talk about art and architecture. And also joining us is Steve Schuster. He's founding member of Clearscapes, an architecture firm in Raleigh. Welcome to both of you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Frank, first, can I get you to describe the building for us?
Well, the building's 12,000 square feet. It sits on a little pork chop-shaped piece of land east of the state capitol. The building is long and thin. It faces south. It's three stories high and has a big roof overhang on the south side that makes a porch. What we like to think about our building is that the site and the building are the same thing. We have as many uses planned for the outdoors of the building as we do have planned for the indoors.
And you're not concerned that it was called the most ugly by those 29 Raleigh residents?
I would have been very surprised if people hadn't said that. Here's a building that sets out to do things differently. As you suggested, it uses about 40% of the energy that would normally be used in a building of this type. And since buildings are the greatest users of energy in our country, buildings use more energy than all the cars, planes, and buses put together. If we want to be serious about using energy wisely, this is a good place to start, and we think our building does that.
Steve, you were instrumental in getting this building made. Tell us how about the process and how Frank's design came to be chosen.
The AIA had been in the historic water tower in downtown Raleigh for over four decades, and we had outgrown it and decided that we needed a new headquarters. And the decision was made to develop a new piece of architecture that could really be a definer of the profession in North Carolina. We looked hard and long for the right site. Its location on the corner of Peace and Wilmington had the right visibility. And the whole notion was to establish the Center of Architecture and Design as a demonstration of the value of architecture in our state, not only as a building form, but to provide a programmatic opportunity for events, for presentations. There's a coffee shop moving in to invite the public in. So it really wants to engage the community on multiple levels.
Tell us more about that mission, about the mission to teach and to help us rethink the role of architecture.
Well, architecture, like art, if you're trying to do things differently, it requires people to think. And I think one of the reasons that that poll that you mentioned, that 29 people did not like it, was simply because this building is not the what many of us call the comfort food of architecture. Forms that we're used to, buildings that we've seen for centuries, the public is very used to those things. And the minute you put something else out there that's not like that, requires people to think. And that was part of the reason we did this. And I think part of the value what Frank brought to the project was a building that really engages you to have to think differently about what architecture should be.
Frank, how has the building bust of the past 5 years or so had an impact on the way people are doing architecture in Raleigh?
Well, I think we've become much more aware of the cost of buildings and how buildings perform. And coming out of the recession, I think that we'll be building buildings in very different ways, much more energy efficient, much more related to their place, because we can't keep building in the same old wasteful ways that we used to. Energy is just too expensive now.
Yeah, and that should be obvious to everybody and probably should have been for a couple of decades now that there are efficiencies you can build in. They're costly, and for some reason, it just hasn't caught on in a big way. We see more and more evidence of it, particularly in public buildings. But do you think that it's been slow to catch on, energy efficiency in building? And if so, why? I'll start with you, Frank, and then I'll talk to Steve, too.
Well, I've been doing regionally appropriate and environmentally sound buildings for 30 years. And 30 years ago, it was a difficult sell to clients. Why should they spend a little bit more for a building, you know, that used local materials and could be naturally ventilated and used less energy when they could build it more cheaply? That was 30 years ago. Starting about, I would say, 10 or 12 years ago, it became much easier because I think we're all becoming more aware of the impact that we have on the environment, and we've seen the way that buildings impact that environment.
And yet, Steve, it's still difficult to get these buildings financed, isn't it?
It is because the banking world hasn't yet really come to terms with the fact that first costs, while they may be larger, end up with lower long-term operating expenses. We had a significant challenge finding funding for this project, mainly because the lenders were comparing this building against standard spec offices that are generally built with the lowest first cost possible. And when you look at that kind of pro forma, where everything is based on construction costs versus long-term life cycle costs, the financing world hasn't got there yet. We're seeing that starting to change, but that creates yet another challenge.
Yeah, it's interesting because that same pro forma that you talked about, that those numbers the bank likes to see going in, should suggest that lower operating costs make us more sustainable and more likely to pay off our loan, even if it takes a couple extra years.
That logic is profound. Sometimes that conversation is difficult when you're dealing with the financing world.
The ossified banking world better catch on because there are other ways to finance, and those are growing fast in the social media, the world of social media. Steve, let me stay with you for a minute because this is more than just a building, obviously. Your firm, Clearscapes, works carefully with artists as well and sees not just in rethinking and forcing us in some ways to think when we look at a building, but art is a very important part of architecture where you're concerned.
Well, there's a conversation that we think buildings can have with the occupants, with the users, with the community at large. And the way my firm practices is with artists on our staff. One of my partners, Thomas Sayre, is a well-known public artist. And so the work we do tries to blend architecture and art in ways that may not be clear. Where does the architecture stop and the art begins? One celebrated example is the new Raleigh Convention Center. We were part of a very large design team who were involved with that. And the shimmer wall on the rear of the building has become arguably one of the iconic images of Raleigh. And is that art or is that architecture? It's that blurring of the lines that we think good art and good architecture should strive for.
Frank, is this the kind of thing that can be done, should be done as standalone? We think, you know, development certainly has traditionally been one development at a time, and there's planning when it comes to density and other issues. But to what extent does a city like Raleigh take into account the big picture, not only in terms of infrastructure, but also in terms of the aesthetics? Do cities like Raleigh take that into account when they plan in the big picture?
Well, I would like to think so. You know, Raleigh has many great natural advantages, not the least of which is our climate. You know, we have a good 4 months every year, April, May, September, October, when you really don't need air conditioning or heating. You can open the windows, you can open the doors, you can enjoy the outdoors. There are no insects or mosquitoes at that time. I like to think of it as the fact that we've got California climate without the earthquakes. And I think what I would like to see is more buildings that open to the outside and represent the way of life and the climate that we have here that we can, you know, so enjoy.
When it comes to building as art, architecture as art, and not so much the energy efficiencies, Frank, do you think there is any inherent conflict between artistic buildings, buildings with an aesthetic versus the sheer practical kind of cheapest building we can make? I mean, are there two separate business models when it comes to designing that sort of structure?
I don't think they have to be, and I'm sure Steve would back me up on that. The AIA building is not an unusually expensive building for a building of its type and its location. And I think I want to touch on something else, which is the artistic controversy, if you will. Almost all art that's new is difficult to deal with at first. But You know, if we take, for example, the Impressionists like Monet and Pissarro, their work created a scandal. But today, 150 years later, it's some of the most highly sought after and revered work. Steve Jobs used to say that fashion is something that's beautiful now and is ugly 2 years later. And art, on the other hand, is something that's often difficult at first, but comes into its own years later. And I think that's what we are doing in this particular building.
But Steve, why should we do that? Why shouldn't we just build the cheapest building, even if we have upfront costs for efficiency, let's say, all economic, and we'll put the art on the inside. We'll commission artists to put something on our wall.
That's, I think, a valid question. For me, it's about what are our aspirations as a community, certainly as a profession, to kind of head towards the lowest common denominator, which is often done in the private sector because everything ends up being kind of a bottom line approach, or in our public buildings. And while this is a building owned by the American Institute of Architects, in many respects, it is a public building. And I think there is an obligation for us as a community to aspire to doing higher quality public spaces, be it buildings, be it plazas, the places that we go to engage our neighbors and our community and to gather. And we hope the Center of Architecture becomes one of those spaces.
How do you think Raleigh compares to other cities in the state or maybe even around the country in terms of its whether or not it's adventurous in this regard?
I think you'll find a broad range of opinions on that.
I'll get those 29 people in that poll, see what they say.
We certainly got their point of view. We are in the South, and the South typically is seen as more conservative than other parts of the country. I will say this, excluding myself and my firm, what I enjoy is the Triangle really is a location of cutting-edge architecture design. We have some of the best firms in the Southeast, if not the country, practicing here. And the level of quality that's being introduced into our environment is at a very high level as compared to other parts in our state and certainly other parts in the Southeast.
What do you think, Frank?
Well, here's what I think. I think buildings, whether we know it or not, are ideological statements. Every building we build, whether it's a school or a strip mall, represents our beliefs and our stake in the future, and at the same time, our respect for the natural environment, or our lack of respect of all of the above. And I think a building like the AIA does all of those things. It says what our beliefs are. It's a building that's very much of its time. It belongs to North Carolina, yet it has a stake in the future. And, you know, I can imagine what the people thought in 1840, the North Carolina legislators, when they built the state capitol building by Town and Davis. It's on Union Square, and it was so expensive that it consumed the state budget for several years. But what a gift they gave to us in North Carolina that we've been able to enjoy ever since. And that was their stake in the future and their beliefs in themselves. And you know, buildings can do that.
I want to thank both of you for being on the program today. Frank Harmon, a Raleigh-based architect, the firm called Frank Harmon Architect PA. For more information, go to frankharmon.com. Steve Schuster, founding member of Clearscapes, an architecture firm in Raleigh. And for more information, clearscapes.com, our website, stateofthings.org. This is North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. I'm Frank Stachow.